Guys, we're doing, I'm multitasking right now. We are live to you. We are also recording to this. See this little microphone? And today on Katie's Crib, we have probably my most special guest I've ever had in the entire.
Probably.
The most specialist of all guests I've ever had on Katie's Crib.
Dr. Schiaparelli was pretty special.
True. But we have the one, the only, my husband, Mr. Adam Mark Shapiro.
Hi, guys. Hello. Hello in the podcast world. Hello out there in the real live world.
Yes. It's just warming up our voices.
It's an honor to be on Katie's Crib. I thought you'd never ask. I've been outside that door for like 2 years.
We're coming to you
just
live.
Just being like, Do you want my side of the story? Okay, cool. No, just...
Nobody cares about your side of the story. No, we care.
I got a lot of guests' tea, though.
You get a lot of guests' tea. Yeah. You get a lot of guests' water when Roger's really going all out.
That's right.
He gives Roger a bone, puts him in a room so that he doesn't ruin the podcast.
Yeah, take care. Yeah, make sure.
This is...
Live.
This is live.
Katie's
and this
Crib.
Is where Adam and I hang out, usually later in the day with wine, with our son, Albie, who is playing in this room.
Yeah. Playing the tent.
And so the tent, the couch.
Truck.
These are lovely. We had some friends over for Super Bowl that had some older kids here, and they made a lovely sign called Camp Friendy.
That's for Friendy Moon.
Yes.
That's our annual weekend with our friends. It's called Friendy Moon. It's where friends become better friends.
We are such losers.
It's the best. And there's the Friendy, the
but
mini
the great
awards.
News about this was...
We got runner-up for an award this year.
Friends Crushing It at Life.
Yeah, Friends Crushing It at Life. There were three people that won the award, so technically we're fourth place.
But the older kids came and hang out in this room on Sunday, and they asked their nursery school teacher, like, what events should we have for the little babies that were all hanging out? And what was great was all of the kids got pink eye.
That would turn out to be the event.
And double ear infection. We spread the pink eye and we spread the double ear infection. So for you moms out there listening and watching, we've had our first bout now with pink eye.
Pink eye.
Which was very disgusting.
And then a bunch of ear infections in the group.
A bunch of ear infections. Last night, Albie was up with 102 fever and change. So I'm on very little sleep, but this is just the new normal.
See, everyone else in the world thinks the Super Bowl was just about Adam Levine taking his shirt off.
No,
it was about pink eye in this house.
It truly was. Literally, I think 7 kids got pink eye right here in this room.
Yeah.
Are you scared? No, well, we've disinfected the whole place.
Yeah, we have. Welcome to the pink eye room. That should be the name of this podcast.
Adam, have you ever had pink eye?
The pink eye room? No. Remember
we've been together 13 years. You've never had pink eye,
remember
right?
Remember, we thought I had pink eye a couple years ago, and then it turned out to be something else?
Yeah, what was
it? It was like... Dry. My eye was dry.
Adam.
I get a lot of stuff.
You should really go out for one of those commercials, the dry eye.
That'd be amazing. I would love to go out for
one. Yeah, because maybe we would just get a lifetime
just
of that.
To, just drops. To have the opportunity to be on a commercial like that.
So I think people have sent in some questions, and we're going to try to the best of our ability to answer them, even though we have only been parents for a year and a half. So we don't like.
We're going to be answering them from our perspective, our experience.
Yes, we are in no way, shape, form claiming we are the best or know what the hell we are talking about.
Knowing the Katie's Crib fans, I feel like there's going to be some questions that are even off topic.
Great.
You know what I mean?
Fine with me.
We can like just...
That's Katie's Crib is just, it's just real talk. So Adam, if you're ready, just get real.
I'm going to go into our Instagram, we're going to check out the questions.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for sending in questions.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in live.
And thank you for...
Especially you West Coasters getting up at the crack of 9.
Yeah, and also, thank you guys. Last week we were the number one podcast.
I don't know if you guys saw that. The number one podcast on iTunes.
For moms and family, right?
Yeah, family and kids.
Family and kids.
So that includes dads, too.
You're included, Adam.
Yes! All right, first question comes from Camsmol.
Nice.
And it's totally unrelated to Katie's Crib topics, but can you sing Shallow together? Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more?
Wow, Adam's voice is real skilled at not him. Okay.
Is this something else you're fighting for?
No one ever asked Adam to do that again because he sings Shallow all of the fucking time.
Yeah.
And it is very annoying. I love you. I love your voice.
I'm just a big
ready to move on to something else. But at least it's not Greatest Showman because we were in a big Greatest Showman spiral.
We were in a showman phase.
Now we're in a in a
Star is Born
phase.
Okay. Well, you know, Gaga won that Grammy.
Give Adam a movie musical and watch out.
Yeah, watch out. For the next,
also, you will see we have...
For the next 16 months.
On that wall, if you can pan, we have the lovely school posters of the first musicals Adam Shapiro was in. Not that we're trying to force this down our son Albie's throat, but I thought they were adorable to be framed.
I was in those shows. It was a different era.
He was in Oliver and The King and I, and I think you maybe had one line in each.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question.
Right. How do we get better naps from Monica Solowski?
Yeah, so I think it all depends on...
Wesolowski.
Yes. Thank you, Monica, for that question. I think it all very much depends on the age. But I, when we had trouble with some nap stuff, to be honest, we did a podcast on this show with the woman who started a company called Healthy Little Sleepers, and it is a website called healthylittlesleepers.com.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you can pay her not that much for a phone session.
Like a consultation.
A consultation, and the phone call lasts for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, and you tell them every single thing, because sleep with babies, so much affects it. Like, their room, the room temperature, what they're wearing, the sound, what they've eaten that day.
The last time they've eaten.
The last time. You know, so it's a very specific case for each baby and each family. And so what I would highly recommend and what helped us was actually doing consult with Healthy Little Sleepers and having like an hour and a half phone call where she would just suggest things
well,
to
that
try.
Well, that being said, the things that she suggested specifically for us, one was... We had always heard never wake a sleeping baby, and that just was not how
true
we handled
us.
It. Yeah, for us, we woke up Albie at the end of his nap time every time he took a nap when he was especially when he was an infant. We like kept those naps like exactly on time, so he never overslept one nap and then couldn't go down for the next one.
Yeah,
so the schedule was really big.
But then he had like a major sleep regression when he was 8 or 9 months old, and I was losing my fucking mind because I hadn't slept in a month.
Yeah.
And I had to call her again. And it's just nice to have her on speed dial, to be completely honest. That, I needed to put him down 15 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
And literally that changed my life. And I had never tried it and I didn't know. Like, he was going down at 7. He was like, I think he's overtired and that's why he's screaming from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I was like, wait, what? She was like, try putting him down at 6:30. Literally the world shifted. So... Again, it's very personal for each case, and I think calling her is great.
I thought the most interesting thing about that was, like, the schedule was so important for Albie, but it was so important that we adjust the schedule when it needed to be adjusted.
Right, because they change.
Yeah, because
like, right now, we're transitioning from 2 naps a day to 1 nap a day, which is getting real interesting. What's the next question?
I think it's not been interesting. I actually think it's been, like, really easy. Thank God for that kid. All right.
He is.
Why did you decide to name your kid Albie? I love this name.
Adam, why don't you take this one? Thank you, Agatha.
I have a great uncle named Albert, and my grandfather was named Albert, and we love that name, and I wanted to name him after those two great men, but we didn't want to name him Albert specifically after them, because, like, I guess in Judaism, you're not supposed to be, like, you name people after people, but not like you name them their name.
Right.
And then...
we were out to dinner one night.
Oh, yeah, we were out to dinner, and I said, like... I was trying to think of a name, and Katie didn't like any names I was coming up with, right? And so I was like, maybe I should start thinking a little bit more outside the box. Like, think of a name I like, and then just change one letter. So I was like, you know, like, instead of Kevin, it would be Kevin. But that's like a terrible... That's a terrible example of this, right?
He did this for months.
Instead of Jason, Rayson.
Terrible name and not a good
Rayson's
idea.
Rayson's not a good name. It sounds like something you don't want, like, in an envelope being sent to your house.
That's for sure.
And so then I...
I was like, I really like Alfie.
Alfie.
No,
Alfie.
Alfie.
Yeah,
we
really like Alfie. What about Albie? And then I just said Albie, and Katie was like, I think that's his name.
And we loved it.
And then we were like, it's Albie. And then the other couple we were eating with was just like, oh, you're deciding this right now? And it was like all over tacos in Silver Lake.
So the two Alberts he's named after go by Al, and so we loved the name Al also as a nickname. We loved the name Call Me Al by Paul Simon on the Graceland soundtrack.
The song.
Albie was born to You Can Call Me Al while he came out of my vagina.
The oh, nice. What are we at? 9 minutes till we talked about
your
vagina.
That is a long-ass time before I said the word vagina.
I was just wondering, like, how long it was going to take to talk about your vagina.
It's a beautiful word. You can say, oh, good, you're saying it.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say vagina. Now. I was wondering when the floodgates would open. No pun intended, you know what I mean?
So we liked the Call Me Al part of it. The last two E's of his name, because it's spelled A-L-B-E-E. So there's Al for Adam's grandpa, then there's E for my grandma Edna, and the last E for Adam's grandma Elsie.
So that's, we sort of his covered whole a lot of name bases. Is covering a bunch
and
of names.
And also Edward Albee is a playwright, and Adam and I are theater dorks.
That's okay. Another thing. Funny thing about the Call Me Al in the hospital, we had moved into our delivery room at Cedars-Sinai here in L.A., and I had, like, as soon as we got in there, I, like, set up Sonos and, like, a bunch of, like, cafe candles, and we, like, really vibed the place out.
Yeah.
And then when the doctors came running in, because it was go time, and the baby was, like, heading down the canal of your vagina, specifically, I was like, oh, it's time? The baby's coming out? So I, like, whip out my phone, and I go to my Sonos and hit Call Me Out, and it's like, ba-bum-bum-bum, 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 and, like, the doctors and the nurses are like, what is happening? Because they didn't know we were going to be calling him Al. They just thought we were choosing, like, the weirdest song ever to
have. No, it's
have
the most beautiful
to.
Song, but yes.
So he was born to Call Me Al, which is pretty cool.
So cool. And such a good song.
All right. Thanks for that question, Agatha.
Yeah, really nice to go down memory lane this Monday morning.
What do you and Adam factor into the equation when considering having a second child? In fact, I don't...
Let's have this conversation right now.
Why don't we just have this conversation right now? Because we've been avoiding it.
What do you think, Adam? Because you make a lot of jokes about being paid to not have a second child. Are you being serious?
Paid?
Like, you've made jokes where you're like, I would love to just not. Like, are you being serious?
Does that... I'm getting paid to do that?
No.
All right, no, I have made a lot of jokes about
not having a
like,
second child.
No, like, I'm good.
That's right.
That kind of joke.
Sure,
or like,
sure.
I'm down with just the one. That kind of thing. Like, little, and they're like more than jokes. They're just like little comments in dinner parties.
Yeah, lots of asides.
Yeah, like, I'm good with just the one.
So is that how you really feel?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, all right.
But then I've also had people be like, yo, at Albie's second birthday...
I know, everyone says this.
He's going to be running around and you're going to be like, I need a second.
I don't think we're going to feel that way. I just like really...
Or like Albie's going to grow up and he's going to be like, he's going to have paint in his mouth or something. And then like someone's going to walk by with like this little serene little newborn in a thing. And we're going to be like, we missed that age.
I don't think we will.
All right, so...
No. I mean, I just
we're not
feel,
having a second
well,
child.
Well, no, I wouldn't... I don't know if I would make the decision... Because of that, I sort of more feel like...
That we should take it out of ourselves and make it about Albie. Albie could really appreciate having a sibling, maybe.
I feel like I really love having a sibling.
I loved having a sibling,
You loved having a sibling. And for those reasons, I feel...
I said loved as if it was in the past. But it's because I was thinking about like childhood.
Yeah. I got you.
I still love having a sibling.
I got you, of course. I just think like... First of all, I know an incredible amount of... people who don't have siblings who are exceptional human beings.
Oh, you're thinking about how is this going to affect Albie's, like, personality?
It's a huge thing.
Mm.
I mean, it's huge to, like, have a sibling or not.
He's awesome right now. He just has the dog and us.
Yeah, but, like, when I say my mom, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to have a second kid. And she was like, he's going to be the most selfish piece of shit ever. Because, like, the sun, moon, and stars sets on our sun right now.
Sure.
For us, for our entire extended family, for everything. Our entire lives right now revolve. Now, I think the older he gets and the better we get at parenting, that probably won't be the case, hopefully. Yeah, but like having another person that you're forced with daily to deal with, of like sharing, and we don't care about you right now, we have to care about him, or I just automatically assumed I was having another son. That keeps happening. Weird.
It
I just
weird.
Feel like I'm going to be a mom of boys. I don't know why.
Boys.
Adam comes from a house of boys.
Pink guy.
But anyway, No, I think about it more in terms of Albie than anything else. Is that wrong? I don't know. So anyway, guys, so whoever asked the lovely question, thank you so much. It is on the table for discussion.
Yeah,
we
now
don't
it's on,
know.
Now it's on the table for discussion.
I sort of put it in my mind, like, when he's too...
Are we being too loud for Albie's nap?
He's not napping yet. He's on a walk.
Oh, that
by
nap,
himself.
That nap was adjusted.
<He's> on... Guys, the lovely reason why we are here, and I want to... Because we have an amazing third adult who is helping us raise our child while we work.
Best nanny ever in the universe.
So... Yeah, we don't know. I think when he's two, we should sit back at this table over coffee on Katie's crib.
Oh,
really
great.
Have
so we
a
get another
more
year.
Serious conversation.
All right, we're
not a year. That's in like 6 months from now.
9 months from now. 8 months from now. This is what we always do. She exaggerates one way. I exaggerate in the other way to prove to her that she's exaggerating. And then we figure out the exact math. It's a big old waste of time. Okay. Oh, next question. Tips on how to keep the romance alive as newish parents. I love your podcast from Anna Truskin.
Thanks, Anna Truskin.
Keeping the romance alive. Not that we've been great at that, but I do think that you gotta prioritize your relationship a little bit.
Yeah, it's like what Troyan was saying in the podcast last week about...
Just listen to Troyan.
Yeah, no,
like,
but...
For all things.
Putting your own safety mask on before the kid, it's like...
Yeah.
If your relationship... I mean, first of all, I think it's really important for your kid to, like, see, you know, if everything's based on modeling, like... You know, we clean up the room or we say thank you and please. And so that teaches your kid how to do those things.
Also
similarly,
affection
and
smooching.
Like smooching and holding hands and saying, I hope you have a great day. Or, hi, how are you? How was your day? It's like showing
or like
your
both,
son. So I think
both
it's
the
really
mom
important.
And the dad make the popcorn equally. Like that would be a good thing for him to see. I just thought of that.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I just feel like I've been making the popcorn
by yourself for both of us for a very long time.
So I just feel like Albie should start to see you make popcorn.
Sure, I got you. Why don't we try that tonight?
Okay, cool.
I also have heard of these parents like doing date nights. So our doula, Rebecca Beninati, who was on the podcast, she had always suggested you guys should always take a date night and you're only allowed to talk about your kid in the first 5 minutes and then the kid talk is like off limits.
Like the moment like the drinks or whatever come to the table, that's it for the...
Yeah, like you have to talk about other shit, which you and I think fail at miserably.
Oh my God, we were at a huge dinner party
Saturday,
a couple
right?
nights ago. It was like a cast party for The Affair, which is the show I've been doing.
Yeah.
And there's all these great people around. We're at this big table, everyone's talking about stuff, and Katie and I are at the corner of the table just looking at videos of Albie.
It's such a nightmare, guys.
So, I mean, and that's what we're like around other people in a dinner party situation. Imagine if we were just by ourselves at a restaurant.
I know.
Be all,
so date nights are supposedly important. I don't think we're doing a very good job.
We have friends. Mm-hmm. They have a permanent Saturday night babysitter. It's not even a question. They are going to go out regardless of their plans. And I think that's kind of a cool thing to do. We've never employed that, but I feel like it's kind of a cool thing. You know you get that date night every night, every week.
Yeah, I think we need to do that, right?
Yeah. Just so you know it's there.
I agree.
You have to prioritize the relationship because as soon as the baby comes, he's a priority and then work's a priority and all the stuff in the house and all, and then your relationship is like, the, for some reason, becomes like the last thing you think of.
Yep.
Until you're like yelling at each other over who's making the popcorn. Or who's getting
or
the pink
eye. Or how many months until it's 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that question, Anna. Which non-dairy milk is superior for Oreo dipping?
Oh, crap.
Hilarious.
We wouldn't know.
First
we
Oreo
only dip
question.
It in that milk.
Yeah, we only dip it in that real milk.
We got...
Non-dairy? I would say there have been a couple dire situations where we've had no milk but like a bunch of Oreos. And we've used almond milk
and
a couple times.
It failed.
It's not great for dunking. What I would suggest is...
It's too thin in consistency.
Honestly, what I would suggest... Nia.
Yes. I'm waiting for this. On bated breath. What would you suggest?
Just take a bite of the Oreo dry.
Oof.
And then, hear me out.
Okay.
And then just drink a little bit of water.
Wow. It really... How about if you did the milk but you took a lactate pill?
Oh, like
if it's a lactose problem.
Well, what if they just can't
drink? Or there's lactose-free milk. But if you just really can't drink milk,
Here's the other suggestion, Nia. Get a thin Oreo, one of the thins from the thin line. You know, get either the mint thin or the vanilla thin or the regular thin, and pair it with a glass of wine, something like refined, adult.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
We've done that. It's delicious.
There's your answer. Don't worry about that non-dairy milk.
And don't worry about that water. Barf.
Sorry. Okay. It was the first thing that came to mind. I was like, somebody was having an Oreo emergency, and I jumped too.
Good idea.
What is the best way? This is Court Webb 13 saying.
Quark?
Court.
Oh, Court. Okay. Hi, Court.
Maybe short for Courtney.
Okay.
Or short for Night Court.
Okay.
What is the best way to have found thus far to balance work, baby, husband, and life?
That's for you. Don't know yet. I talked about it on this podcast before, this brilliant thing Shonda Rhimes says, which is when people ask her, when do you do the work-life balance or the work-mom balance? And she says, I don't. One day that I'm super succeeding as a mom means it's the same day that I'm turning in a script late, or the day that I'm there shooting late means I'm not putting my kid to bed. And so I sort of...
That's Shonda.
Yes.
Shonda
and knows. I sort of really experienced that this summer in Waitress, because I really tried. We went and did Waitress on Broadway for like 3 months, and I tried... On two show days, we would have two shows on Saturdays and two shows on Sundays, and I would get out of the musical at 5, and I would race home, do bath, bedtime, nurse, get him down, and then race back to the theater by 7:30 p.m. and then do a 3-hour musical. And Adam just made the choice of like, I'm just going to stay at the theater and like just focus on our job, and I'm going to see the kid on Monday, you know?
But like even in that situation, I was really balancing like life and work really well, but not wife and baby.
Right.
And you were like doing work and baby, yeah. But no life.
No life.
And like, I was like completely out of the picture.
And I don't think it worked well. Like, I just really tried to be like the best mom and like the best job at Waitress that I could. And I just,
so maybe
I
the answer
failed.
Is,
I don't think you can.
Maybe the answer is, it may not be possible to balance all of those things in the same period of time.
That's what I mean.
So you have to make sure that you're dedicating different periods of
That's
time.
That's what I think is the key.
And then you're balancing it in a macro way, like
yes.
over the course of a year.
That's
you've
exactly.
It.
And look, I'm
which is why
I'm
you take vacations hard.
Yes, and I'm new totally, and I'm new to this. So I'm figuring it out. But I do think when I figured out on Scandal, like the days where I had hard scenes to do that, like meant a lot to me. And like, let's say I had to be at work at 5 o'clock in the morning and I get home at 10 o'clock at night, which means a day that I'm not going to see Albie at all because I left before he was awake and I got home when he was asleep. I just knew that that day was going to be a fucking Scandal day. Like I was going to kick the shit out of the acting and I had to focus 100% on that. And then the next day I was going to try to go as hard as I could in the mom zone. But like,
I love those really long Scandal nights. That just meant me and Albie were just going to be throwing pasta in each other's faces. The best.
So that's sort of what I'm thinking at the moment. I don't think you can ever do two well at one time. I think you have to really delegate quantity over quantity. And
Delegate.
Quantity over...
Hashtag delegate.
Hashtag delegate. Hashtag deplenished.
Deplenished.
you don't have mom brain.
Another little callback to the Troian episode.
Have mom brain, right?
Seriously, if you haven't listened to the Troian episode, amazing. Go back, listen to it. It was two episodes ago. One episode ago. Yeah. Okay. Holly Adams 720 says, can't think of a question, but I just really love your podcast.
Thank you.
Holly.
Thank you, Holly. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Courtney says, what childhood memories of your own do you pass down to your son? I mean, for me, it's like 98% ice cream related. Most of my
obviously,
childhood
my husband
memory.
Is not lactose intolerant.
Yeah, no.
It's actually shocking.
Yeah, you'd think.
You'd
at some
think
point.
With everything else. Yes. For me, let's see. We've done hardcore Christmas the past 2 years with my granny Pat, who lives in Buffalo.
Hardcore Christmas. Hardcore Christmas.
I just mean like
Jesus
when you go to Aunt Joan's house on Christmas Eve.
It's hardcore.
It's hardcore. So those traditions are being wonderful.
And I love my Jewish traditions. So we've like given them those. Yes. And Hanukkah and Passover and all that fun stuff. Anything yes. that involves like a big meal.
Yes. I'm thinking of other childhood memories. I mean, we haven't taken him to his like first shows yet, but I imagine we're going to be bawling.
Cannot wait to take him to his first musical.
Like that. He's probably going to hate it, which would be great.
Well, that's why I want to wait as long as, I don't want to like do too early where he's like, I think my mom waited until I was like 11 and yeah. took me to
Joseph
a nice starter musical, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yes.
Because you can love that musical on different levels, I feel like. Like mm-hmm. as a kid, you're just like, this
already,
is hilarious.
Already, I can see the writing on the wall. Like, how are we going to choose what his first musical is? Anyway, it's big. But yes.
Oh, now we have Hamilton, which is such a great musical. I mean, could you...
Oh, God.
Imagine having to get to see Hamilton for your first musical.
But I don't know if that's a good
idea. It might ruin
like,
musicals.
That's what I mean. I don't know if that's a good idea.
He's going to be like,
everything's...
Yeah, we're going to show him this. He's like, why aren't they fucking rapping?
I know.
And we're like, they didn't rap during the French Revolution. Right. And then he's going to be like, they didn't
but
sing
they rapped
during the
Civil War. I mean, the Revolutionary War. Guys, well, mom brain.
It was about 100 years later.
Guys... It is real, though. That's a question I have for you off of this situation. Do you feel like...
Mom brain?
No. Do you notice my mom brain since being a mom? And do you think you have any?
Yes, and not really.
It's true.
But
I'm glad you answered the way I feel.
You are being like... You have the burden. I mean, you know, there's something like... Even though I cut that umbilical cord, which
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, you were really spaced out. I was like, ba-dum-bum-bum, ba-dum-bum-bum.
You guys who are listening can't see. He's singing and also making scissor
motions.
Yeah.
But I cut that. But there is still some sort of tether between you and Albie. And like, if he goes like, in the middle of the night, you're like waking up and checking the monitor. And I can just sleep through that. And I think that's like, basically the number one cause of mom brain is just like lack of like,
sleep.
Not just sleep, but just like deep sleep.
I think you're so right. Like last night, an hour I was up. He was screaming for 20 minutes. I went in there.
I slept through that.
Motrin rocked him down. He's screaming. The monitor's next to both of our heads. Adam didn't hear 1 minute of that.
No. And I...
Fresh as a daisy today, this one over
and
here.
And I think if... But like the times that you've been gone and I've needed to... Like I do wake up. It's just like there's something...
You're like, she's got it?
When the two of us are there... There's something inside you that's like, I have to be ready at any moment to go in there.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that way. Like, you feel that way. And it's just, it's what it is. I've offered 1,000 times.
Of course you have.
I'll
oh my
do
God,
it.
Yes.
Why don't I do it? When he wakes up, I'll do it. And when he was an infant, I did it all the time.
The Katie's Crib record, you are very involved and we are very, very.
But I'm just saying, there's like a piece of you that is just naturally like. Really tied into him, and I think it gives you sleep that's not as great as the sleep I
think I haven't slept since I got pregnant. Like, yeah. I'm so fucking tired.
So I think that...
I don't know how you moms watching and listening who have, like, multiple kids or are doing this on your own or are, like, working night shifts at hospitals or
Shout
whatever.
Out to
I'm just
you
like,
guys.
Holy... This is so fucking real.
I know.
Like, this so, is wait, that just was, the fucking realist.
That was okay. The memories of... Childhood question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which
so Jasmine says, how are you handling career, baby, family? And that can be hard. So we talked about that. But thank you, Jasmine.
Guy, I just said shures.
Jasmine,
hashtag another word I just made up.
Sure, hashtag shures. Hashtag deplenished. What was it like juggling parenthood and being on Waitress? That's what Gabby says. We kind of answered that before. But
it was really, really hard.
It was the dumbest thing we've ever done. It was like, let's get the same job, the same hours, with a 7-month-old, move to a new city.
In 4 days.
Let's have those hours be exactly during bath time and bedtime.
Like, it was so fucking hard. And I was also still breastfeeding.
But we could not do it because
it was Broadway. Broadway's calling.
Broadway's calling.
God.
Yeah.
But it was so hard. I'm not going to lie. I cried a lot. My hormones were all over the place.
It was awesome.
Handing my baby off to get put to bed by someone else 6 nights a week was just like...
Tough
on me. And then also pumping at every single intermission was really fucking hard.
I would always hang out for the pumping.
He'd always come in.
Because I would exit stage right, and then I would have to go backstage left to get to my dressing room. But it was intermission, so I would just like... Take off my costume and go hang out while Katie pumped.
Yeah. You know.
Natasha was there.
It was exhausting.
It was awesome.
But, you know, I felt like, I really felt like a mom beast. Crazy thing about it was that you can't, people who get sick on Broadway, you guys, first of all, Broadway actors are literally the Olympic athletes of actors. And so when they get sick
and
on
we
Broadway,
are not the Olympic athletes of actors.
When you get sick on Broadway, you can go to like a special Broadway doctor who will give you steroids and things like that so that you can sing through the shows that night or that weekend and you can make it through. If you are breastfeeding, you cannot take shit. You can't even take freaking NyQuil, Robitussin, Dimetapp, like anything.
And I was living on stuff like that.
So I went to like this, I lost my voice. I got really sick. I missed 5 shows. People had all flown in, booked hotel rooms, paid for flights, and I wasn't going to be in the show. And I went to the like vocal doctor who was like, I don't know what to tell you. For 25 years, I've worked on every Broadway voice. I've never worked on a nursing mother and I can't give you anything. And I was like, holy shit, I think I'm trying to do too much.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm kissing your understudy.
How was that?
It was fantastic. It was
perks
awesome.
Of our job, guys.
I love her.
Perks of
I
our
love
job.
Her. Okay. So that was Waitress. All that being said, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
That is like my favorite thing I've ever done in my life.
It was amazing.
How did you introduce Roger to Albie?
Okay, this is a huge question. And guys, I do want to maybe not even answer this question fully because we are going to do an episode on this with the amazing dog trainer. My dog has a shit ton of issues. If I could, like, he's a crotchety curmudgeon of an old dog.
Yeah.
And I love him with all my heart, Roger.
They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
And, that
and
is true.
Our dog, you can't teach any tricks. No tricks.
So anyway, the dog intro to a baby, to a child is it's a very big deal. And I was very nervous about it. And I, thank God, had this awesome dog trainer who had been working with Roger and his issues already for months, who helped and guided us through this whole situation.
We thought about it and we planned it.
And since then, we've passed on the information to a lot of friends who are similarly nervous. So we're going to do an episode about this.
We're going to do an episode, but I'll just say this. It's really exciting. There's like all these like steps you can do. And like we had to get her brother involved. And there was a run from the hospital with a sheet.
Yeah, just to give you a little taste.
There was
you
a
take
meeting
like
in the
sheet
of the
street. The baby's been wrapped up in the hospital.
No, too much information.
But I just wanted to get them excited about the episode.
All right.
You just take the sheet covered with the baby stuff. And
Okay.
We're going to do an episode.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
Brazil loves scandal.
Thank you, Brazil.
We love the
Brazil. Do you want me and Adam and Albie to come visit? Figure it out.
Is there a scandal convention in Brazil? We would love to come to that.
Let's
meet
that.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Or a Sensate. I know there's a Sensate convention, and I was on like 6 episodes of Sensate.
How come we weren't invited?
They don't care about my character. Sensei has these gorgeous, sexy guys that take
their
shirts off.
You're gorgeous and sexy.
That take their shirts off on that show.
You take your shirt off, you look great.
Not on that show. I just got shot in the middle of the forehead. Okay. How do you guys manage to do it all? It looks
possible.
Like that on Instagram. It's not true.
Yeah, that is very true. Let's talk about that.
What? When things look like one thing on Instagram and then
no,
in real life?
Why Katie's crib is important. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
Just the whole thing. The whole, like... I guess from our social media, it would look like we've got it all going on. That is not true.
Sorry, that literally gave me a...
Can you speak to that? Like, well, I mean, I would say yes, we are, and why we've been together so long, 13 years, is I think we are glass half full, optimistic people.
We are. We enjoy life.
That does not mean to say we do not have our down moments or have not had some seriously depressed months where we have been clinically depressed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Insta story those moments.
But like maybe
I'm not
we
like,
should.
I'm picking up my antidepressants filter.
Maybe you should.
But like, no, I...
Mental health. It's a real fucking conversation.
Maybe I'll Insta story that.
It's a real
maybe
fucking
you guys will enjoy it. It's down at the Walgreens. It would be a fun Insta story.
Yeah.
But no, I think
or like when I had my first meltdown as a mom and I cried and I was dealing with postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety and I was remember this moment where I was laugh crying so hard that I picked myself up off the chair that I was nursing Albie, ran over to a wood piece of floor because I don't like mess and I just peed all over the floor because I couldn't hold it in. And then you cleaned up my pee?
Yeah, and then I cleaned up your pee, and I was like... like that, just like a really deep breath and
anyway, we don't have it all. We don't have it all going on. It's a fucking mess. And honestly, we should probably post more of that.
All right, we'll post more. We'll post more of the moments where we're not having it all, and I think that's probably important.
I do too. And I hope on Katie's Crib that you can get the sense that that is what's going on. That it's just awesome and incredible and highs and lows and the whole thing is why we're doing this. Okay.
Thanks for the pelvic floor episode, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about that?
No, I just feel like if you want to do another pelvic floor episode, I could, you know, men have pelvic floor issues too. I'm just saying, from experience specifically. Also, she has a baby and I go to a pelvic floor physical therapist.
Oh, yeah. By the way, like Adam had, there is something, you can speak to this, being one of our first, we've had a few dudes on the podcast, but you're maybe our third or fourth, I think.
I'm the third, Bukatinsky, Dr.
Carp, and then we had the Dr. adoption lawyer.
Harvey Carp, and the fourth.
So can you speak to, did you gain baby weight while we were pregnant? Did you feel any postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety? Did you feel pelvic floor problems? Why don't you race us through those answers real quick to the dads out there?
What was the first one? Did I gain weight during your pregnancy? Yeah.
That's a thing, guys.
Sympathy
weight.
I have no self-control at all. just at all. Cannot control myself. That's self-control, right? Mm-hmm. I eat whatever's in front of me, so that's why we try to keep Oreos out of the house and just eat them on special occasions or something. But when Katie was pregnant and she had all this fun food in the house, she was like, let's do spaghetti for dinner. I'm like, yeah, we'll do spaghetti for dinner. And I'm just like pounding spaghetti. And
so you did gain pregnancy weight.
Then
how did
postpartum
you feel about
depression? Zero. In fact, I kind of went the opposite way. I was like, I literally felt like I was on ecstasy for like 5 weeks. But
did you find it hard in juxtaposition to how my experience was that you, did you feel like you had to curb your happiness because I was so fucked up?
No. In fact, I almost felt like there was like some sort of weird chemical reaction between you and me where I could sense you not feeling that way. And so like I made up for it. And like, I think that was a good thing. It, you know, I didn't feel like I needed to curb it for you, but I also felt like I needed to do all of the things, the dishes, the thing, clean up, get the Albie, go, you know, like I kind of hopped too because I realized you weren't feeling it.
Said I started to really take some serious fucking notes because I thought Katie was going to get on a plane and leave us.
Oh yeah, because we had a night nurse for a couple nights and she came in and you were out of the room and I was like, so what time should I do this and this and what do you suggest for the thing? And she's like, well, I'll wait for Katie to come in so I can tell both of you. And I was like, I think you should probably give me that information. She's not ready to listen right now. And I realized like I'm going to need to like actually take a lead on things right now while she's feeling the way she's feeling. And so I'm glad that I picked up on that, but it wasn't happening consciously. I was just really freaking happy and I was like in love with the little baby and I was super, super jazzed. And then the other thing you said was wait.
Pelvic floor.
And then the pelvic floor thing, well, the pelvic floor thing is a whole other story. And
maybe we don't need to get into that.
But I will just say that, like, men have pelvic floor issues,
right.
But we ignore them because we're men.
Yeah, you don't want to talk
about that.
And
most people don't
even
know what the pelvic floor is or where it is.
Sure.
But a lot of pelvic floor issues come from anxiety and stress, which comes from being a new dad. So,
I have two more
just something to look out for new dads. If you start feeling like, why do I feel like I have to pee 6,000 times a day?
How did you feel? And I hope this is helping any of the moms who are listening. Yeah. If their significant others are going through any of this. How Adam beautifully demanded a paternity leave where he was like, I'm going to do 3 months with my son.
Technically, I demanded it to no one. So I was unemployed.
You stopped taking auditions.
Sure,
you stopped writing. You stopped...
Demanded it of myself.
Yes. Well,
that was just important, I guess.
And you felt, correct me if I'm wrong, you were actually depressed when it was over, which a lot of moms feel like not ready to go back to work. You don't want to face the world.
Yeah,
Why is this time over? Your honeymoon kind of period with your son and sort of nesting was done. That's where your depression started.
Yeah, my first day after like 2.5 months or 3 months of that paternity leave, I like went back to shooting and I was pretty bummed about it. Sucked.
Yeah. How did you help yourself to get over that?
During that paternity leave, I didn't have to schedule Albie time and I didn't have to think about Albie time. I just knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I was going to have time with the baby. And then now I have to like really think about it, like put stuff like that. Like, you know, you never put home stuff in the calendar, like, and now we're going to hang out. Same with us having a date. It's right. Like, you have to actually put that stuff in the calendar.
Can you talk to them about had we discussed that you weren't going to go below the curtain when I pushed Albie out, and did you go down there?
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to see anything. I'm going to hang up on the top with Katie. But then, like, they were like, hey, can you go grab something? And I grabbed it. I don't know what it was.
I have no idea why they would ask you to grab shit, but all right.
Maybe they were telling me to turn the Sonos down and I had to go. You know what I mean? Can you grab this? The machine that's projecting laser stars.
Were
can you turn
scared
that off?
That if like, you sorry, saw, sorry. Were we both scared why we made that decision was that you would like never want to have sex with me again because you would have
you
seen.
You were worried about that.
I was worried. You weren't.
No, and then I was down there and then I caught a glimpse and I was like, oh, and it was like, bing, like light and like, you know, I was just like, oh. And I looked
Adam
and I saw
like,
the whole thing. I saw him come out. It was crazy. You're like Optimus Prime. Like you transformed into a different shape. That's awesome.
He's pretty great.
It's amazing.
Even when I'm doubting myself and I feel like shit, he will tell me this story again, which I make you say, and he calls me Optimus Prime, and it makes me feel very powerful.
Good. I'm glad it doesn't make you feel like...
I just feel like a fucking badass motherfucker. I love it.
But...
I hope people don't mind that I'm not asking all the audience questions.
No.
I think these are important things that people can hear since you're one of our dudes on the show.
I think I was glad that I saw it happen. And I always thought to myself, like, how physically does it happen? There's no way a baby is going to be able to fit. And the reason you think that is because it's true. That a baby can't fit down what you think is that pelvic area of the woman.
Yeah.
The way that it is.
Right. The way you know it to be.
It has to dramatically change, shift.
Yeah, by 10
centimeters. This crazy thing that happens in nature.
Which is pretty fucking big.
Wow. It was amazing. So yeah, I'm glad that I saw it.
Are you glad you saw it?
Yep. Jen Odom. Jen Odom.
Hi, Jen Odom.
Jen Odom. Shout
okay,
out.
Wait,
I know
I
you're
think
watching.
Albie's sleeping.
Oh, so we should bring it down?
Yeah. You guys, we're going to bring it down to an Albie napping volume.
Okay. Jen Odom says she misses tweeting and chatting.
Aww,
and hope that everyone's
Jen
well.
Jen Odom, I love you. I hope you're well. Thank you so much for everything always.
And is the Project Nannies still happening possibly? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
The thing with projects, they kind of come, they go, they get hot, they get cold. It was a show that we were...
producing with
that
Kerry
we were
Washington
producing with Kerry
and
Washington
Shonda.
And Bess Wall wrote it and with Shonda. And we had great script and everything, but it just didn't fit in the lineup at ABC the year that we had it. And then all the people at ABC shifted and changed. And then so the project kind of goes with those people. And I don't know. I still think that at some point in our future,
someday,
there's going to be a TV show about our experience meeting as nannies of different families and kind of our relationship.
How weird is it now that we have a nanny? It's the weirdest
it's
fucking
so crazy.
Thing in the entire world.
But like, yeah, we were nannies for different families. Right when we started dating, we were like just thrust into this kind of domesticity.
Oh my God.
We're like,
at
just started dating,
old.
But we're hanging out with all these little kids and like having sleepovers. It was pretty hilarious. Will you sing something for us? Already did that. What was the biggest transition moving from New York back to LA? The pizza. When is Carrie going to be on Katie's Crib? Who said that? Jen.
Well, who said it?
Jen Scott.
Carrie is a huge advocate and supporter of Katie's Crib, which is amazing. Thank you so much, Carrie Washington. As we all know and respect and love, Carrie Washington is very private about her personal life. And so she keeps it that way.
But more importantly than her being on Katie's Crib, she's in Katie's Crib. Like, she's like our number one mom influence.
Yeah, she's the best. Our kid is literally outfitted in Kerry Washington's son's clothes and most of the toys.
The fact that we're even talking about parenting from any place of knowing what we're talking about is a result of our relationship with Kerry Washington. So she's always on Katie's Crib.
Great. True.
Always. Do you see a lot of yourself in Albie?
Oh my God. It's shocking. Guys, when I was pregnant with Albie, I had really said to myself, it's cool, like, I'm very well aware that I'm just making another Adam Shapiro to be in the world. And I love Adam Shapiro so much, so that is totally A-okay with me. And that he's going to come out and he's going to look, act, sound like Adam Shapiro. And basically, he came out, And I looked, and what I was not prepared for was that he looks like me in
he
a
does.
Lot of ways.
He looks exactly like Katie.
He laughs, you too.
Well, he doesn't get all this until his bar mitzvah. You know what I mean? You're not just born with this. You have
right,
to earn.
Right now, what's shocking is this area, which you guys listening, it's his eyes that look exactly like me and mine. And it's so fucking weird.
It's really
like,
cute.
It's bizarre, though. It's like your kids are just, however you get your kids, whether you adopt them, birth them vaginally through C-section, whether you surrogate, whatever, however you become a mom, I just, like, your kid is really here to teach you shit. And, like, I was so blown away that, like, a lot of times when I'm
very conscious,
my
parent.
Patience is being so challenged. It's so weird that I'm trying to help guide someone that, like, looks like me. It's bizarre.
It's crazy. I love when he does.
I feel like I'd have an easier time of it if he looked like you.
I love, like, when he not only does things that I would do, but he does things that I don't do but want to do. Like, when somebody puts food in front of me that I don't want, I just want to slap it away. I don't want that. And he does it. He does that. He's like my hero.
Okay.
Oh, one more question.
We're going to do one more question.
Oh, man, there's
so
many questions.
Thank you
guys
so much for watching and submitting all these questions.
I'm going to go to the next day. Hold on.
Okay,
here we go.
And also, you guys, if you like this sort of thing, we can absolutely do this again. I know exactly where Adam Shapiro sleeps and lives.
Oh, yeah, we can always do this.
So,
live,
like,
ones.
We can do live ones. If you guys really like this and find this informative, or Adam's point of view informative, which I don't include on this podcast.
No, but just, like, follow Katie's Crib, whatever, and then you could write these questions at any point. We'll answer them in the comments.
Yeah, we can answer them in the comments.
Can we be besties from Mrs. Mother Runner?
Done.
Mother Runner. Oh, I gotta check out her Instagram, because I like running with Albie in the three-wheel stroller.
Yeah, you do.
And
her
icon is her running with the baby in the three-wheel stroller. That's pretty cool. How did you guys meet, and how did you find a mutual love for Oreos? We met through a friend, Lindsay Kraft.
We met through a mutual friend.
And then I
13 years ago, she said we were going to get married and spend the rest of our lives together. We met. We did not feel that way. But slowly over time, after keeping on and meeting each other, it was so on. It was so on.
And then how did we find our mutual love for Oreos? I think it was right after the first time we had coitus. I offered you a sleeve of Oreos.
That's not true.
That's not true. But that would have been money if I did that. Coitus. What made you decide to try baby-led weaning?
Yeah, you know, I
don't even know what that means, so you should probably take this.
My best friend, Amy Rosoff Davis, who's been on the podcast, she's six. It's always awesome if you can have a friend who has, like, a baby that's 6 months ahead of you, because you basically just, like, stop thinking for yourself. No, but when you're so tired, you don't know what the fuck you're doing, you can at least send a text to someone who's been through it before.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes for, like, any age. But it's great because she's 6 months, so she still remembers it. My problem now at a year and a half is some people will text me newborn questions, and I'm like, guys, I honestly don't even remember. Like, it's hard. You're so focused on the right here and right now, day to day. So she's 6 months ahead of me, and so I asked her, and she did baby-led weaning, turned me on. She was like, I read this book. I found it to be very helpful, and, like, honestly, that was the reason why I did it.
Yeah, that's why you did it. You're just taking advice from friends. Last question, SKW Bradley says, most important advice you'd have for somebody who's expecting their first one in July.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, and to that end, Adam, if you had any advice for
my
Katie's
biggest piece
listeners.
Of advice, if you're expecting your first one?
Sure.
Go on Amazon and get these, like, long iPhone cables. Mm. They're, like, really long. Mm-hmm.
They're, like, so 50 feet long.
Yeah, when you're in the hospital giving birth to the baby, you don't necessarily know where the plug's going to be, and you're on your phone a lot because you're calling the parents and you're, like, videotaping and all that stuff. So just get a really long iPhone cable. Other than that, you're just going to have to figure it out, because everybody's experience is totally different. But soak in as much knowledge as you can, then you're going to forget it all, and then once the baby comes out, you're going to start to read more and go, oh, I remember I learned that, I remember, oh, that's going to be really useful now, and you'll have, like, a little bit of a foundation.
I want to say thank you so much for being on Katie's Crib.
Thank you, baby
the
mama.
The live version.
Live Katie's
Crib.
And
the podcast
Crib.
Version.
Thanks for having me on this
I love
thing.
You. Thank you for being the father
too,
to our baby.
I love you too, Katie. I love you, Instagram Live.
Thank you so much for listening and for all of your amazing feedback and tweets and messages and reviews and for sharing Katie's Crib with all of your friends and your family. It means so much to me. Please keep it coming. Check us out on shondaland.com and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
got you, got you, got you where I want you. I got you, got you. Where I want you.